Hey everybody, you're listening to the Spencer Latu Show on CITR 101.9 FM. We are a progressive politics show broadcasting live from unceded Musqueam territory on UBC's Point Grey campus. I'm your host, Spencer Latu, and for today's show, we'll be speaking truth to power about the exceptionally problematic Kingdom of Saudi Arabia. So they got in the news recently for a really fun issue that we'll be getting into tonight. So this is a very strange goings-on. I didn't really think much of Saudi Canadian affairs up until this story of the Kingdom of Saudi Arabia more or less imposing sanctions on Canada due to a tweet about the Kingdom of Saudi Arabia committing human rights abuses. So before we get into that, I feel like it's appropriate to give a refresher on the kingdom and just some fun facts about it. So for those unfamiliar with Saudi Arabia, officially the Kingdom of Saudi Arabia, it is a monarchy located in the Arabian Peninsula in West Asia. It is the largest country in the Anglo-centrically named region of the Middle East and is home to 33 million people and as well to its king, Mohammed bin Salman, or colloquially known in the Western world as MBS. The Kingdom of Saudi Arabia is the world's largest oil producer and exporter, controlling the world's second largest oil reserves and the sixth largest gas reserves. The cost of producing a barrel of oil in Saudi Arabia is $6 compared to $29 a barrel as is in Alberta's oil sands. They also have the fourth largest military expenditure in the world, and they are the world's second largest importers. Wow, they traffic a lot of arms, and they love to get into wars, and they love oil. No wonder they're best friends with the United States of America. So, recently in Saudi-Canadian relations, both countries reached an agreement in February 2014 under which Saudi Arabia would purchase $15 billion worth of military equipment from Canada. According to the CBC, this deal included 928 light armored vehicles, specifically a model known as LEV-6. Among these LEV-6s, 119 were categorized as heavy assault. Also included under this deal is a 14-year provision of technical assistance. This deal solidified Saudi Arabia as the second largest export destination for Canadian arms after the U.S. The CBC reported that the first shipment of vehicles would arrive in Saudi Arabia by 2017. And I'm sharing this with you because it's important to know that there were some testy relations already due to the high amount of money, $15 billion. That's about three Kinder Morgan pipelines worth of money that is being exchanged between the Saudis and the Canadians. But as many people may have known from the back of their head, they kind of remembered, hey, wait, Saudi Arabia, isn't that the place where women aren't able to drive? Isn't that the place where people are executed all the time? Yes, it is. So that caused some controversy because Stephen Harper made this deal, who he is a soulless shill that will make a deal with. I couldn't think of a more devilish place other than Saudi Arabia. They're just kind of like that comic book villain that lives in the desert that is just so evil and controls lots of natural resources. It kind of reminds me of that Mad Max guy with the water, except for this is the oil and also the guns that Americans love. Anyway, so Stephen Harper made this deal, and as Justin Trudeau took over afterwards, he went along with it because he's really good at doing things that no one likes, such as buying pipelines. Sorry, I can't get off that one. And he's really good at going along with lucrative deals that help the business sector. So $15 billion worth of business for the arms manufacturers of Canada. Great, great deal, and a great way to show how humanitarian we are by selling weapons to the only country on earth I can guarantee will use them against their citizens. Other countries that are pretty brutal, like China, they may or may not use it against their citizens. They have other ways of doing things, but for sure the Saudis will use it against their citizens. So the human rights issue, I guess, not that important, right? Just human rights was in question. And although I would love to get into Saudi Arabia's human rights issues, I would need another show and a whole other hour to get through maybe half the stuff they've been up to as of late. So instead, I will just, in passing, mention their use of corporal punishment. So that's where they cut people's hands off for stealing, cut people's feet off for, I don't know, what other ungodly reason. And lashes are a punishment commonly given to adulterers there. So if a woman is raped, but she doesn't know who raped her, she is going to be lashed for adultery. Yeah, we think we blame the victims here when it comes to sexual assault here, but hey, check out Saudi Arabia. They're big proponents of the death penalty, and in the first few months, they executed 48 people, so they move quick there. Their justice system is awfully efficient. Almost too efficient. Women are second-class citizens and require a male guardian at all times, but because they're progressives, like they're basically the Bernie Sanders of the Middle East, they now allow women to drive, lifting the only women driving ban in the whole world. So good for them. Snaps to Saudi Arabia. They have a big issue with slave labor building everything, but hey, who doesn't these days? Sex trafficking, and there are no freedoms of religion, speech, and sexuality because homosexuals do not exist there, which is just shows how repressive they are, and there are no protests, so Colin Kaepernick doesn't have to worry about playing in the Saudi Football League, because even if he tried to protest, he'd probably get his arm cut off. So due to the laundry list of disgusting human rights abuses, Foreign Minister Chrystia Freeland conducted an investigation and concluded that there was no evidence of human rights abuses, wow, that's a first for them, being committed using Canadian vehicles. So the vehicles that we sold for $15 billion, that is our price, at least for our dignity and integrity. They couldn't prove that the vehicles were used to harm the civilians directly, so it's okay. But although that the country is waging a war in Yemen, and so that war, which we'll discuss later in the program, it is the Saudi Arabia is backed by the United Kingdom, United Arab Emirates, and the United States. So that war is against the poorest country on earth. They've killed already tens of thousands of civilians, caused the world's largest humanitarian disaster. There are a million cases of cholera, 22 million people living off of humanitarian aid. So if anything gets worse that the humanitarian people can't get there in time, 22 million people are at risk, and they're also suffering from the world's largest famine. So I'm not thinking about the vehicles we gave them. That we're not complicit in that. There's no way. Anyways, that's just a quick rundown of some historical events plaguing Saudi Arabia's fine reputation across the world. But it wasn't any of the things I've listed, which is what caused this Twitter spat. Instead, it was tweets from the foreign ministry and from the foreign minister, Chrystia Freeland. So Foreign Policy Canada tweeted, "Canada is gravely concerned about additional arrests of civil society and women's rights activists in hashtag Saudi Arabia, including Samar Badawi. We urge the Saudi authorities to immediately release them and all other peaceful hashtag human rights activists." That was tweeted on August 3rd. So on August 2nd, Chrystia Freeland tweeted, "Very alarmed to learn that Samar Badawi, Raif Badawi's sister, has been imprisoned in Saudi Arabia. Canada stands together with the Badawi family in this difficult time, and we continue to strongly call for the release of both Raif and Samar Badawi." So Raif and Samar Badawi, they are siblings. Raif's is a poet and a civil rights activist who was already in jail, but Samar Badawi's now joined him. The sister of Raif Badawi is a Canadian citizen, so I think that is why, well, obviously most conscientious people would care no matter what, because this is just sick, but it has a direct link to Canada, which probably prompted these tweets, other than people just stating the obvious that this is just messed up. So I'll get into more of the story, because it's quite a doozy. So this is from the Globe and Mail. "Saudi Arabia, Canada spat, what we know so far." So what prompted the dispute? The dispute ostensibly arose because of a tweet issued by Canada's Global Affairs Ministry decrying the arrest and detention of two female bloggers and activists and urging Saudi authorities to immediately free the two women, one of whom is Samar Badawi, sister of jailed blogger Raif Badawi, as well as all peaceful human rights activists. What a tall order. there's no way that'll ever happen in the kingdom. So back to the article. The Saudi foreign ministry took exception to the wording of the tweet, calling it an attempt by Canada to interfere with the country's internal affairs. Saudi Arabia announced it was suspending future trade with Canada and severing diplomatic ties by expelling Canada's ambassador and recalling their own ambassador to the country. Saudi Arabia will also withdraw all Saudi students it has been sponsoring at Canadian universities, colleges, and other schools. A Saudi government source who wasn't authorized to speak publicly on the matter said on Monday that more than 15,000 Saudis study in Canada on scholarships, grants, or in trainee programs funded by Riyadh. So, clearly, you know, we pressed the wrong button on Twitter, and we really ruffled their jimmies over in the kingdom, and now they're upset because by calling for all peaceful human rights activists, you know, the most dangerous people on earth, to come out of jail, the Saudis have responded proportionately, obviously, by cutting off diplomacy. So there's no way we can, you know, work it out at this point, because that's off the table thanks to King MBS, and no more trade because activists need to be in jail, apparently. So moving along on another part of the article, some analysts perceive Saudi Arabia's move as both a power play for the kingdom's young leader and a demonstration put on for the benefit of countries with stronger ties to them than Canada. Crown Prince Mohammed bin Salman recently went on a global tour touting proposed economic reforms and promoting his vision of for the kingdom as the next Europe. Despite those ideals, however, the country has continued to take aggressive actions against some neighbors, and concerns about domestic human rights practices persist. So the Globe and Mail, just like most mainstream rags, did a very poor job of me talking about the, I don't know, war in Yemen, largest humanitarian disaster ever. So, I mean, that I guess that's what aggressive actions meant. It's more just a sick, depraved war for profit that they're engaged in. Furthermore, I don't know how I feel about MBS wanting to be the next Europe. I don't know. What does that mean with Saudi Arabia? They're just going to go conquer Africa. They're going to go conquer some other part in Asia. They're going to go start an imperial empire kind of thing. So I don't know what he means by the next Europe, unless he himself is so Eurocentric that he believes like that's the pinnacle of civilization. So just problematic from top to bottom. What's at stake here? So in the article, it lists how it talked about the $15 billion in arms deals that we're doing with them. There is currently annual $3 to $4 billion worth of trade as well. And flights from Toronto to Riyadh are canceled. And to the extent of how important Saudi Arabia is, they are Canada's 17th largest trading partner and don't get that much oil from the Kingdom of Saudi Arabia. It mostly comes from the United States. And, well, don't worry, everybody. Good news. The oil shipments, according to the Saudi minister, are okay. So everyone can breathe deeply. Don't worry. We're still going to get the oil. It's clearly on everyone's mind, especially with all the people pushing the Kinder Morgan pipeline. And the ambassador, like I mentioned earlier, was declared persona non grata. There's a tweet about that, which I thought was kind of funny, just to say, you know, you got fired via Twitter. It's a very Trumpian kind of thing to do now. And he's left the country because he had 24 hours to get out of there. And just how they deal with people that are dissidents, I would leave within 24 hours. Just to bring it home from a Canadian perspective, it seems that Twitter fingers have turned into trigger fingers, to quote the great Canadian musician Drake. This has come to a shock to me personally, but also to many who thought that a theocratic kingdom, a monarchy in the 21st century, you know, might have a few human rights issues and might have a little bit of a regressive view of women. I mean, it's very uncommon for us to see kings and queens. We have there's the British monarchy, but they're a little bit more subdued. They're not out there, banning women from driving or executing people. So it's not the same kind of French Revolution-esque monarchy that was really giving people the guillotine right before they got kicked off. What also came of this, which was my personal favorite of the whole ordeal, was the tweet sent out by Infographic KSA. So that's Infographic Kingdom of Saudi Arabia. And they They're a propaganda arm of the kingdom. They send out fun Saudi Arabia memes for kids to retweet. And this super fun tweet was a picture of Toronto, specifically of the CN Tower. And it has what seems to be an Air Canada flight, a 747, flying into the CN Tower. And the text on it reads, "Sticking one's nose where it doesn't belong. As the Arabic saying goes, he who interferes with what doesn't concern him finds what doesn't please him." So this tweet and a picture of it, pretty shocking. There's a good article on this by CBC by Ryan Patrick Jones. Saudi Arabian group apologized for posting image appearing to threaten Canada with 9/11 style attack. Saudi youth group quickly deleted the image and issued an apology. It was posted to the Twitter account of Infographic KSA. Infographic KSA has over 350,000 followers with 88,000 on Instagram, and they have a history of posting pro-Saudi messages. So obviously what this image reminded to me was the September 11th attacks, as I'm sure many other people did. And it's extremely problematic because 2,700 people were killed. People who are first responders are still dying from the effects of saving people from the building. So it's a very traumatic point for everybody in North America. I'm sure a lot of people know someone that was connected to 9/11 or has been and seen the site. It's a very sad place and not something to be throwing around, oh, we're just going to commit a 9/11 style attack. And why it really hits deep with Saudi Arabia talking about it, 15 of the 19 hijackers were Saudi citizens, yet the United States invaded Iraq. So, I mean, that was kind of its own debacle. And the apology was really funny. They said, oh, no, it's not a 9/11 style attack. It's not the plane crashing in there like 9/11. What we meant was it's the ambassador going home to Toronto. And I feel like that was just a pretty pathetic backtrack. And it's pretty obvious they meant a 9/11 style attack because Saudi Arabia knows that they are the ones that are sponsoring Al-Qaeda and a lot of state-sponsored terror going on in the world. I mean, there's no way there could be a militia that armed is producing all the propaganda videos and doing all the things they're up to in the Middle East, staging all those coups, revolutions, and taking over areas in the region without state support. So it's pretty obvious what's going on in that sense. I'm not pleased with this tweet. I'm certainly not a person that is scared to death from in a Fox News kind of way where I'm scared of people jumping out and committing terror attacks. I don't think that's the case. However, I think it's very important for people to know that if a threat comes from a place like Saudi Arabia, which is just in the business of state-sponsored terror, that it should be taken seriously, and the media should report on it. Yet the media is pretty silent on it. If you do a Google search of this, it's not many people covered it outside of CBC. Certainly, the American media outlets and UK outlets who are all in bed with Saudi Arabia did not talk about this. And is this a declaration of war? No. Is it something that should be taken seriously and definitely should be condemned, especially by the super regressive monarchy? Yes. And people can go check that out if they Google it. It's pretty shocking. There was also some state media people going on about some engaging in some whataboutism. They were complaining about our human rights record with Indigenous people. Very true. We do have a terrible human rights record. Indigenous people are treated extremely poorly in Canada, and that's totally due to the fault of the government and the businesses that destroyed them for their own gain. And I think that there's nothing wrong with Saudi Arabia saying it because it's true. And however, does it excuse Saudi Arabia tweeting a picture of a 9/11 style attack against Canada? It absolutely does not. And that is why whataboutism, it does not work, and it just makes you look extremely silly. So we're going to take a short break now for commercials, and we'll be right back.
When you join Balloon Club, we guarantee that you will be able to make a balloon poodle within the first day.
Here at the UBC Ant Club, we just like to talk about ants and compare ant farms. It's really cool.
Paperclip Club is all about, well, paperclips mostly.
At Blah Club, you can blah, 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 blah.
Explosions.
There's only one club worth joining at UBC, and that's CITR 101.9 FM. We got free tickets to shows, whirly pops, professional help in all types of audio engineering, passes to festivals, crazy parties, live band swag. All types of crazy people. Our programming manager rides a motorcycle. There's freestyle rapping, Nardwar the Human Serviette, the vinyl and record libraries, Discorder magazine, free studio recording, and it sure beats the hell out of Paperclip Club, which is a thing that I just made up because I work at CITR. So come check us out on the floor of the Student Union Building. We got all types of crazy shit for you to do. Or check us out online at www.citr.ca.
The AMS Sexual Assault Support Centre, the SASC, is a free and confidential service which provides support to those who have experienced sexual assault, intimate partner violence and harassment. We provide services to folks of all genders, including students, staff, faculty and those who have a connection to the UBC Vancouver campus. We provide crisis and short-term emotional support, legal, medical and campus-related advocacy and outreach and educational programs. We are located in the Student Nest, room 3127. For more information on our hours of operation and other resources and services, please go to our website, amssask.ca, or visit our Facebook page, AMS Sexual Assault Support Centre.
Open Media International is a non-profit, non-partisan organization working towards informed, citizen-driven internet policy. Open Media believes in keeping the internet uncensored, open, innovative, secure, and providing universal access to fast and affordable networks. If you would like Open Media to keep campaigning for citizens and internet policy, you can donate to them at openmedia.org or openmedia.ca. You can also find them on YouTube, Twitter, Facebook, and Google+.
What's up, everybody? We're back. You're listening to the Spencer Latu Show. We're broadcasting live from unceded Musqueam territory on UBC's Point Grey campus. This is 101.9 FM CITR. This is a progressive politics show, and we're going to listen to Justin Trudeau talk about how we have respect for Saudi Arabia's importance in the world. Okay, this is courtesy of the Washington Post. Let's give it a listen.
We continue to engage diplomatically and politically with the Kingdom of Saudi Arabia. We have respect for their importance in the world and recognize that they have made progress on a number of important issues, but we will at the same time continue to speak clearly and firmly on issues of human rights at home and abroad, wherever we see the need.
That was Prime Minister Trudeau. If you check out the YouTube link, there's lots of homophobic and sexist comments about how effeminate he is. However, I feel like he pretty much summed up the situation pretty nicely, where Saudi Arabia is extremely important because they have everyone's oil and they buy all the arms from the military-industrial complex of the United States of America and UK. So to go out there and have Canada, a relatively smaller nation compared to the massive empire that is the United States, and take on one of their extremely important protectorates would be silly. I don't know how that would end up, especially with Trump in the White House. It is probably the best we could come up with. So the people that went to take cheap shots at Justin Trudeau over this, oh, who else could they be? Post Media. So we're going to get into that in a bit. I'd just like to share some thoughts about it in general from my progressive leftist kind of take on this. I would say that it's a positive. I would say a net positive of the federal government saying something about activists getting locked up. That's important. It raises consciousness in Canada. It lets people know how people all over the world are suffering, which is important, as well as sticking up for some people that will definitely see some torture in the Saudi jails. So that's fantastic. It would have been nice, I guess, how they could have taken further is brought it to the floor of the UN General Assembly. That would have been nice to see them put something forward, say, hey, you know, we want to condemn them for this in particular. But of course, that would get vetoed by the United States immediately. And as well, we don't want to jeopardize our own arms deal. So it's not a perfect situation. There's no really good people in this kind of in the world of international politics. Don't be looking for a good guy. You're not going to find one. But you can certainly see how there's some good, you know, there's a silver lining to this all. as well, there is this, the show didn't exist when I really wanted to complain about the media, but there was this tour that Mohammed bin Salman, MBS, took through America, and he was visiting the White House, visiting Silicon Valley, just the swampiest of places a monarch could visit, just with the most terrible billionaires listening and eating up all the crap that came out of his mouth, where he said how progressive they are for letting women drive. Come on. Like, I thought these right-wingers that take all the money from people complained about participation trophies. That's the biggest participation trophy. You can't give yourself a pat on the back if you're the one country that bans women from driving, lets them drive, and say, we're progressive. That's just insane. It's like starting a war and then ending it and be like, we're peaceniks. No, that's not how it works at all. Anyone that ever believed it or printed about how great the MBS was, which was the New York Times, the Atlantic, CNN, The Rock even made an Instagram post about how great it was to meet MBS. And, you know, if anyone, I know The Rock is very important to all of us and we love his acting and we love watching his workout videos. But if you're getting your politics or your history or anything from The Rock, you are in the wrong place. He's probably unaware of what's going on with Saudi Arabia. I don't think so. Anyone informed him of in his team, which, I mean, he is an ex-pro wrestler, ex-football player, and current highest paid actor in Hollywood. So although it would be nice if he knew what was going on in the world, however, I don't think he really does. So please do not listen to The Rock about MBS. So, and back to the terror threat tweet, like, once again, I'm not saying that this is like, oh my God, we need to attack Saudi Arabia, we need to invade. I'm not one of these people. I'm not Joe Biden. But what I am is saying is that, how is it in a world where the entire conservative right, even some centrists, have their hair on fire about brown people, Syrian refugees, all these people committing crimes and trying to destroy a way of life, when the Kingdom of Saudi Arabia explicitly puts a picture of them trying to take out the CN Tower with an airplane in a 9/11 style attack? How does that get zero coverage? How does it not set everyone's hair on fire? Oh yeah, because the Kingdom of Saudi Arabia is who we're in bed with. It's who we sell arms to. It's who we get our oil from. So we're not mad at those brown people. We just want to punch down on the brown people that are leaving their war-torn countries, but we're fine with the kingdom that promotes the ideology that we claim to hate. So I just think that is another great example of the horrible hypocrisy of the right wing, and how they just have absolutely zero clue what's going on and are just the most self-serving, terrible people on earth. I know I spend a lot of time bashing the fake left, but sometimes the right needs to get taken down because they're just getting a little bit too crazy with the stuff they're trying to pull, especially in the Saudi Arabia moment. So we have post media, some screenshots for you to share that I will read off. This is from Sean Craig's Twitter feed. He's sharing the Toronto Sun. This was posted on August 6th, and they're talking about about obviously bashing Justin Trudeau because the Toronto Sun has nothing better to do when a 9/11 style attack is threatened. You'd think they'd be all over that. No, this is a better time to bash the guy I'm paid to bash. So this is from Post Media's editorial board. So this is what the company really thinks, and through their subsidiary Toronto Sun, which is just one of their worst right-wing rag papers, as you can see from their Rob Ford, Doug Ford coverage. Editorial is the headline. Editorial is Justin Trudeau all talk on feminist agenda? Published August 6th. Okay. Having provoked Saudi Arabia with a virtue signaling tweet shaming the ultra-conservative kingdom for its recent crackdown on activists, clerics, and journalists, Justin Trudeau finds himself in yet another diplomatic mess. Trudeau has repeatedly and self-righteously tried to export his progressive worldview to other nations. He tried to tie gender, climate change, and indigenous rights into NAFTA trade negotiations and labor, gender, and environmental rights into a proposed trade deal with China, and was dismissed by both. In fact, Trudeau's progressive grandstanding has mainly irritated and undermined his position with foreign leaders. Remember his disastrous India trip? And now he must either mollify the Saudis to fix his mess or take an actual stand. What he should do is stop inserting his politics into international diplomacy, because surely this can't be what he intended when he declared Canada was back on the international stage. Oh, goodness, Post Media. Oh, goodness. I'm not one of these people that believes that you need to toe the line of what your government is saying in times of crises. In fact, it's best to stand up and not let any derangement system take over, derangement syndrome. So don't let Saudi derangement syndrome kick in and think that, oh, we just need to get behind Justin Trudeau and everything that he has to do is important. Well, we listened to what he said, and I think that was a very fair, logical thing to say with all things considered. I mean, I don't really know what else he could have done. But you can see the Toronto Sun's editorial board, and well, just Post Media in general, they're this horrible, massive Canadian corporation, is just completely misrepresenting what's going on. So saying that Canada provoked Saudi Arabia, it's a statement of fact. They locked up civil rights activists. It happened. It's news. It's not provocation. It's not that they said, oh, you need to make this deal go through or else. There's no threat. He just said, we are concerned about you locking up people who are fighting for the rights of others. I don't see how that's a provocation. Maybe in crazy right-wing world it is. And of course, classic virtue signaling, you know, oh, he's virtue signaling. He doesn't really care about what's going on with people in Saudi Arabia. They're getting their heads cut off, people. And if you really think that the Canadian government is hypocritical, how about Trump? How about all the conservative, all the neocons, all those people that are totally in bed with Saudi Arabia? Hell, even the Democrats are in bed with Saudi Arabia. So it's a little bit ridiculous to be like, oh, this is Justin Trudeau's fault. He's just saying this to make himself look good. It's just a statement of fact, people. Ultra conservative kingdom. Like, yeah, you don't think that they would be under there'd be a little bit more scrutiny and controversy surrounding themselves. So, and then they blame him for being a progressive. Well, first of all, he's not a progressive, so I don't know. Like, and once again, in crazy right wing world, they just try to take the scary words and apply them to anyone that they don't like. So, you know, Bernie Sanders, really progressive. Trudeau buying a pipeline, not so progressive. So it's kind of hard to tag progressive and Trudeau at this point. But it's mostly just to scare their really uninformed readers, because in their minds, progressives equal communists, and they feel like their freedom's going to get taken away. So a little bit of red baiting in there, a little bit of just ignorance and just saying whatever you want to say. I mean, there's very little standards to write for Post Media, clearly. And then the last thing that I wanted to say about this was he should stop inserting his politics into international diplomacy. Well, I've got some things to say about that one. Okay, so for Post Media, they do the opposite of what Michelle Obama said. She had that famous quote, when they go low, we go high. So for Post Media, in Post Media world, when they try and call out human rights abusers, we side with the abusers to take a cheap shot at the prime minister because he is not a conservative. And I say this because I know that if Stephen Harper was in power, they'd have no problem with, you know, any dealings, anything to do with Saudi Arabia. It's just, or any policies. It's just that they like to take cheap shots at people that are not part of their tribe of crazy right wingers. So, Post Media asked fellow Liberal Prime Minister William Lyon Mackenzie King to remove his politics of anti-fascism from international diplomacy with Nazi Germany. That's a joke. I mean, they didn't say that, but I'm sure if they were around at September 1st, 1939, they probably would have gotten mad at Liberal Prime Minister King just because they like to take cheap shots at any opportunity that arises, no matter how bad of the or no matter how wrong. They're on the wrongest side of history you could possibly be on. Also, just to insert a fun fact of how horrible Post Media is that today the Saudi-led coalition blew up a school bus full of children. 29 are dead. I think it was dozens injured. And that is who they're taking their side with. So, I mean, incredible. You'll jump on board with the child murdering regime causing the worst humanitarian crisis in Yemen just to take a cheap shot at Justin Trudeau. There's a lot of other things you could take cheap shots at him for, but they choose this one because these people have no spines, no integrity, no morality at all to be on this side. The only thing lower than Post Media's morals is their standard of journalism. So the morality of this whole situation is pretty brutal, but just all the things they were saying in the article, which are patently false or just way or had nothing to do with anything, in my opinion, shows how little, how small-minded these people are and how little they really care about anything that's going on in this world, let alone innocent people getting killed in Yemen or the brutal Saudi regime. So that just shows you where their focus is on. We also need to talk about how Canada's allies have had extremely little to say on this matter. I wonder why. Maybe it has to do with the fact that Saudi Arabia imports so much weapons and exports so much oil that the U.S., which coincidentally needs lots of oil and sells lots of weapons, is also Canada's ally that's supposed to step in. Huh, I wonder what's going on with them. I wonder why they can't seem to pull it together and jump on our side on this. So Amanda Connolly of Global News did an awesome article about this. It's titled, "Here's Why Canadian Allies Are Keeping Their Mouth Shut in Dispute with Saudi Arabia." This was posted August 8th. And she just notes the silence from Canada's allies. And just talking about all the things we've covered earlier, how they're telling all the Saudis to just get out of Canada. Basically, we're done with Canada. And the U.S. and U.K., people we've, as she notes here, countries we've fought and died beside in two world wars, has nothing to say. The article reads, quote, "Like so many things in politics, it all boils down to the money," said one expert. "There is an attempt by the Saudis to create some fear and rattle some of those Western governments into not supporting Canada because they may be cut out or shut out from some potential Saudi economic deals and the big boom that it's undertaking," said Besma Momani, a professor at the University of Waterloo specializing in Saudi relations and a senior fellow at the Center for International Governance and Innovation. "Saudi Arabia is the largest weapons purchaser in the world, so any company or country in the world that sells arms, as does Canada, is likely to be looking into how this is going to affect bilateral trade ties. It has not gone unnoticed that the same countries that Canada has fought and I've already mentioned that part about the dying. That was a nice little, twisting the knife for the Americans, just to remind them. They love to talk about war, but then when it comes to people they've actually fought wars with, they don't really care. But that's just more says more about my personal stance that war is a racket and war is not something that people need to take any stake in. It's not a show of anything. It's not a show of how much you care about the world. You don't go to war for peace. That's not how it is. So don't ever get it twisted. Don't think that this whole ordeal is not just another thing orchestrated by plutocrats, the oligarchs, just all the wrong people in the world that have too much power and are completely psychotic in how they wield it. It has nothing to do with anything to do with working class people like ourselves who are going to suffer because of this. This is not going to affect the monarchy. They're good. They're in their palace. They're fine. It's not going to hurt the oligarchs of Canada. They're in West Point Grey, just all tucked away nicely. It's the people that would be around the CN Tower that the Saudis would crash into would need to be worried. So moving along, the article goes on, "There have been no tweets posted from the UK Foreign Office account about the spat. In its statement to reporters, the office ordered that just three lines that urge restraint and describe both Canada and Saudi Arabia as close partners. The US has also refused to get involved and called both countries close allies." And I'll take a break from the article. So this is a classic Trump administration kind of statement. It reads, "Both sides need to diplomatically resolve this together. We can't do it for them. They need to resolve it together," U.S. State Department spokeswoman Heather Nauert said Tuesday. "Putting us both on the same standing is something a lot of people are scratching their heads about, but perhaps not uncommon with the Trump administration and his disdain for our prime minister." So I made a little stab at America because, as we remember from the Charlottesville rally last year, where Nazis and anti-fascist forces got into a massive street fight, the Trump administration sided with somehow the Nazis and said that both sides need to get it together. And just like this, they're saying, well, clearly the horrible kingdom that kills people, the horrible kingdom that threatened to attack the CN Tower, it's both sides in this one. So once again, you can never count on the Trump administration to do anything properly. We're going to take a short break for commercials, and we'll be back to talk about some tweets about the Saudi conflict. We'll be back in a second.
Conservation is the first and best resource option for BC. Do your part. Turn off the lights when you leave a room and unplug your cell phone charger when charging is complete. Visit bchydro.com to find out more ways you can make a difference. This message brought to you by BC Hydro Power Smart and CITR 101.9 FM Vancouver.
It's not just rich people that own the media.
But by leaving out the most important things you need to know, they can elevate awareness to a new all-time low.
I own my media.
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 The Media Co-op is a grassroots national news network that's owned by its members.
But if it's just left out, can you say the paper lied? A lot of things that happened didn't happen after all. If there's no one in the forest who will put it in the news, I guess the tree didn't fall.
Join us today at mediacoop.ca/join.
I'm joining today. You should too.
Discorder, that free magazine from CITR, has been documenting the best in music, arts, and culture since 1983. Let's see what one man of prestige has to say about Discorder.
What up, though? This is Big Snoop Dogg, and I fucks with Discorder magazine. How about that?
Smoke weed every day.
Pick up a copy around Vancouver or fuck with Discorder online at discorder.ca.
I'm Amy Goodman, host of Democracy Now!, daily grassroots, global, unembedded, international, independent news hour. And this is CITR 101.9 FM.
Hey, everybody, we're back. You're listening to the Spencer Latu Show on CITR 101.9 FM, broadcasting live from unceded Musqueam territory at UBC's Point Grey campus. We're back to talk about some tweets about the whole issue. So Perry Kemek is part of the intelligentsia of Canada, and he tweeted, with a normal American administration, one, Saudi Arabia wouldn't dream of breaking ties with Canada, two, Washington would be the obvious mediator. And the only reason I wanted to pick apart this tweet was just because Perry is suffering from a little bit of Trump derangement system syndrome and thinks that the U.S. would side with Canada with anything to do with Saudi Arabia. Well, let me tell you, the U.S. had nothing to say about and had nothing to say when Sweden got the whole straw kind of deal like we got. Germany had the same kind of thing, both for criticizing the war in Yemen, which is terrible, and we will discuss in a little bit. So to think that this is Trump's fault and that this is an abnormal administration, it's not. Don't get me wrong. Trump is definitely the worst president of all time. However, the way that America runs their country and runs the world is very brutish and disgusting. So to think that if we had Hillary in office, that this would be better is wrong. So just moving on to another person, Thomas Juneau. He's also part of the intelligentsia. He tweeted, as the dust settles, takeaways from Canada-Saudi TIFF. This point one, this is mostly about Saudi, not Canada. Send a message that criticism will be punished. Point two, Saudi will increasingly pay the price of its overreaching. Point three, Trumpism has consequences, a license for the reckless to act recklessly. So once again, MBS was celebrated by the liberal media. So to say that this is somehow Trump's fault is kind of silly. It's just the oligarchs that went along with MBS because they were hoping that they could get some more lucrative oil deals and arms deals. So this is a systemic issue. Don't get me wrong, Trump is making things worse because that's what he does with these problems. However, it is still part of the system. So when Trump leaves office, hopefully sooner than later, it will still continue. Saudi Arabia will pay a price? Absolutely not. The United States they love selling them more arms. They love doing more business with them. They love protecting them. In fact, they love them so much they're helping blow up the poorest country on earth. So don't think for a second that there's going to be a price to pay diplomatically. Okay, when the U.S. and U.K. are somehow beholden to Saudi Arabia more so than even the crazies that are talking about Vladimir Putin and the United States. You want to talk about someone who's controlling the government? Look at Saudi Arabia. They can't even criticize them for a 9/11 style tweet. Are you insane? Of course they have the government in their pocket. Moving on. This is also important. The European Union also refused to get involved. A spokesperson was quoted by the New York Times as saying, "We don't comment on bilateral relations and that we are in favor of dialogue." Well, thanks, European Union. We can have a dialogue because they kicked out the ambassador. So maybe you should say something because the dialogue thing is off the table. And it would be nice if somebody said something about this. But wait, they're beholden to Saudi Arabia as well. So you can see how this, although it is the largest country in the Middle East, a middle player in the world, there's certainly no China, are able to boss people around because of their arms deals, and the arms manufacturers are all over the world. They are mostly situated in America, also the UK, and since they have so much power over the government, they somehow get them to keep quiet about Saudi Arabia, their best customer. So No surprise, the hero of the hour was Bernie Sanders. Bernie Sanders was the only notable American to say anything about this issue. I'm sure Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez had something to say. I didn't check her Twitter feed in time, so we'll just listen to Bernie. Bernie says, "This is an outrageous move." Oh, I really wish I could do a Bernie Sanders impersonation, but I'll start again. "This is an outrageous move. It's entirely legitimate for democratic governments to highlight human rights issues with undemocratic governments. We must continue to do so. The U.S. must be clear in condemning repression, especially when done by governments that receive our support." Well said, Bernie. I'm feeling the burn still. Still a little bit hurt about the primary, but hey, what are you going to do, right? It's just another day in the life of a progressive. So what he's talking about by receiving our support, well, that is what he's talking about is the Yemen war. And what the Yemen war is, wait, I didn't know there was wars going on. I thought that all ended in World War II and the Cold War. Nope. Instead, the Kingdom of Saudi Arabia is bombing Yemen. Why are they bombing Yemen? Well, they claim that Houthi rebels that do not, and that they have a connection to Iran, because for maybe a not so obvious reason, Iran is oil rich as well, and they're mad at Iran, so they want to crush Yemen first and then move on to Iran. But right now they're bombing them because of the Houthi rebels there that are a group that are trying to separate from the Yemenese government. So the Yemenese government is being backed by the Saudis and the US, the UK, and the UAE. But while the only issue with this whole thing is that in the crossfire are humans. It's not a pitched battle out in the middle of nowhere. Instead, this is happening in all the cities. It was happening in Sana'a. It was happening in Hodeidah. And now it has left civilians with a very, very high price to pay from this conflict. So the human toll of the conflict, as reported by Amnesty International, 5,900 plus people, civilians killed during the conflict, 9,400 civilians injured. 3 million people forced from their homes by the fighting. 22.2 million people in need of life-saving humanitarian assistance, including food, water, shelter, fuel, and sanitation. 2.5 million children out of school. Well, there's about 30 that you can take off that number, because they were blown up by the coalition bombing that set a market on fire and killed a couple dozen children on their way back from a picnic. So thanks, America. Thanks, Saudi Arabia. You're really keeping it free out there. Amnesty International has documented 36 airstrikes across six different governorates. I'm assuming this is some kind of like province kind of thing. Sana'a, Sada'a, Haja, Hodeidah, Taiz, and Laj, by the Saudi Arabia-led coalition that appear to have violated international humanitarian law. The rules that apply during a conflict, which are sometimes known as the laws of war, resulting in 513 civilian deaths, including at least 157 children, and 379 civilian injuries. These have included attacks that appear to have deliberately targeted civilians and civilian objects, such as hospitals, schools, markets, and mosques, which would amount to war crimes. Wow, that's crazy. I wonder where they're getting all the bombs from that you'd need to blow up all the hospitals, schools, markets, and mosques. So, Amnesty International goes on, the Saudi Arabia-led coalition has also used cluster munitions, lethal explosive weapons banned under international law. When launched, cluster bombs release dozens, sometimes hundreds, of small bomblets, which often lie unexploded and can cause horrific injuries long after the initial attack. Amnesty International has documented the coalition's use of at least four different types of cluster munitions, including US, UK, and Brazilian manufactured models. Imprecise weapons are used on a daily basis in residential areas, causing civilian casualties. Such indiscriminate attacks violate, shockingly, the laws of war. So, the laws of war, I mean, come on, people. War is already brutal enough, and if you can't even follow those rules, you're just kind of some sick, twisted human being. And that, unfortunately, is what the Saudi, US, UK, and UAE coalition are capable of. So, cluster bombs, banned by the UN. It's a crime against humanity to use these weapons. Why? Well, because the bomblets sometimes don't detonate. So many years after a war, someone will go near a bomblet, like which is happening in the Indochina, and they'll get their legs blown off. There'll be some poor paddy farmer that didn't get their legs blown off during the war, but after the war, they get their legs blown off. So there's that. Also, it's completely imprecise, so you're basically carpet bombing an area. Another issue that is totally against the laws of war, because you need to know who you're bombing and approximately how many people are going to be there. These people don't care at all and are just doing it anyway. And the question is, why are they doing this? Well, I have a few ideas why. One, the Saudis are doing America's bidding, so to speak. The U.S. and its allies have a high stake in Iran getting overthrown just so they can take their oil, because they're not aligned with the United States and they have a large oil reserve. Thus, the Saudis have a problem with them as well, mostly along religious lines, but also along power lines. So there you go. There's that. And as well, this is extremely profitable for the great humanitarian U.S. military. And their arms manufacturers that they're in bed with create these bombs that are banned under international law, which we don't follow as part of America's allies and NATO. We don't follow those rules. Why? Because we're the winners. We make the rules, so we don't care. It's just, and if Yemen used a cluster bomb, well, I guess we could nuke them, but nope, we can cluster bomb as many civilians as we want because we make the rules, and it's extremely profitable to make these horrible, horrible bombs, but whatever. We don't really care about that. The article goes on, there is no reasonable explanation by states such as this is a quote from Lynn Malouf. The quote is, there is no reasonable explanation by states such as the U.S. and the U.K. that would justify their continued support and irresponsible arms flows to the Saudi Arabia-led coalition when there is extensive evidence that these have resulted in enormous harm to Yemeni for the past 3 years. Yes, people, this has been going on since 2015, 2018. I know we haven't heard about it much. The Washington Post editorial board made a big announcement of this. They said that Yemen, the war that no one's talking about, which I mean is a really tough posture, as this was talked about on Citations Needed, great podcast. They said it's a very strange posturing because the Washington Post itself has never talked about the Yemen war. So it's really strange to call someone out for not talking about a war that you yourself did not talk about. So there's that. And obviously, this hasn't been reported on by the U.S. and U.K. media. Al Jazeera, great place to get some Middle Eastern news, talked about this in their article. And maybe this is the reason why. Because since 2015, the U.S. and U.K. have sold more than $12 billion worth of weapons to Saudi Arabia alone, including some of the warplanes and the payloads they drop. So they're making money off of this horrible war. They're supplying them with in-air refueling, so the Saudi planes get fuel from American planes and go off and kill more kids. And this is all happening under the very watchful eye of the media that is more concerned with Stormy Daniels, with the Trump-Russia saga, the Trump-Russia conspiracy theory, than the world's worst humanitarian disaster. So I think that really illustrates where the media is at and where we are as a species, that we can kill children for no reason whatsoever, violate the laws of war, violate international law, UN law, whatever law, as long as we're making profit. So at the end of the day, I would say that the culprits of this are greed, People want to make some, as much cash as they can, and they don't care because they're, well, there's a need for arms, and I'm just filling the need of the market. Well, you're still a disgusting human being for doing this. As well, power is important. So if you can control the largest empire on Earth, say have 900 military bases scattered across the world, you need a lot of oil. Like a lot to keep your empire alive. So no mistake, you have to be best friends with the people that have all the oil. And there we go. The United States is best friends with the most disgusting regime on the planet Earth. We're running out of time for the show today. I appreciate you listening, and I hope that you look into, and if you thought the Canadian and Saudi relationship was sketchy with our arms deal amongst buying oil from them, look into the U.S. one. That is where it gets really very, very scary, and you can look into the petrodollar and how it all kind of works together. We'll be back next week, Thursday 3 to 4. We've got some more great programming coming on for you later on CITR 101.9 FM. Don't change that dial. Thanks for listening today, everybody. Power back!
But the lesson plan he can't recall. The student's eyes don't perceive the lies bouncing off every fucking wall. Closure is well kept. I guess he fears playing the fool. The place the students sit and listen to that bullshit that he'd learned in school. Europe ain't my rope to swing on. Can't learn a thing from it. Then we hang from it. Gotta get it. The weatherman. Like a motherfucking weatherman. Expose and close the doors on those who try to strike over and mangle the truth. The circle of hatred continues unless we react. We gotta take the power back.
Hello, my name is Russian Tim, and I'm here to tell you about Rocket From Russia Fest, which will take place on August 16, 17, and 18 at the Astoria. This festival is the celebration of great local scene which we have in the city. Rocket From Russia Fest features 18 great local bands, including performances by The Hextalls, 20th Year Anniversary Show, Needles and Pins, Cambridge will play a reunion show, Yubi Gideon, The Greatest Sons, Jesse Leborde, and my band Russian Tim and Pavel Mores. Rocket From Russia Fest, 3 days of live, local, amazing music. August 16, 17, and 18 at the Astoria. 3 day passes and individual night tickets available on showfast.com. This is gonna be a great success.